You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Doug Haldeman, here with my co-host, my beautiful wife, Tammy Haldeman. Welcome back, Tammy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
If you'd like to reach us on our off-air number, you can text us or call 314-472-DOUG. That's 472-3684 are the numbers for that. And you also can visit our website at DougHaldeman.com, DougHaldeman.com. So, Tammy, you and I spent a long conversation digesting all the benefits of home ownership. And as we broke them down, we started out with a really long list, but we broke them down to the most important ones. And we have for you the 7 financial benefits of home ownership.
Right. 7's a lucky number.
Is a lucky number. It's a, that's a good number to nail this down to.
Yeah, that's right. So, number one, let's go through this real quick. So, Doug, you and I have both owned homes, and you especially have learned many lessons throughout your years of home ownership.
The good and the bad.
Yes, yes. So, does home ownership really build wealth over time?
You know, we were taught that growing up, owning a home was a financially savvy move. Our parents knew it, and their parents knew it. But right. This past decade of real estate turbulence, it's kind of shaken everyone's confidence in home ownership. Because there are some people that think that housing is going to crash again. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at this. Does it really go up? You know, are you really going to build a lot of wealth over time? Okay, I'm going to say that as a worst-case scenario, it's a hedge against inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, meaning that if you're going to stick your money somewhere, it better at least appreciate enough to keep up with inflation.
Right,
okay,
right.
But over time, traditionally, housing will go up more than that. Okay, housing will go up. You know, if inflation, the Fed's goal is around 3%, and we actually have been well under 3% for quite a while. But let's just say if home ownership needs to go up at least 3% a year, but it's frequently will go up 4-5% per year. Okay, and that is only based on if you're buying at full retail value. Okay, if you can buy below retail value because you find a deal, then you can build wealth even faster. And I've done it multiple times with investment properties. I've had 190 properties that have flipped over the years. And that was all about building wealth. Okay,
right.
It was all with that intent. So I'm going to say unequivocally, yes, you can build wealth through home ownership. And I think that we're going to keep this conversation mainly to our owner-occupied residence.
Okay.
Okay, just
yeah.
Our house that we live in.
Yeah.
Investment property, of course, would be done to build wealth.
That's a whole other show.
Yeah, but exactly. A whole other show.
So now, Doug, as branch manager for Cherry Creek, you see so many families, and you see the benefits, you see the negatives, you see it all. So from the equity they build up, can you kind of explain how that works for us a little bit?
Okay, so the equity that you build up in a home, okay, and as a branch manager at Cherry Creek Mortgage, we're in the top 25 lenders in the country. We did $3.6 billion in home loans last year at Cherry Creek, and we get to see a lot of people come through our doors, lots
right.
of different loans, a lot of different scenarios. And one of the things I love to see is when somebody's selling their house and they're going to sell it and buy the next house, the amount of equity that they have is sometimes very, very large.
Mm-hmm.
I just had somebody that moved up. They sold a house for a little over $200,000, okay, but they hardly owed anything on it.
Right.
They'd paid this thing down, had over $100,000 that they use as a down payment on the next house. They bought a $400,000 house, and they only had to take out a $300,000 loan at that point.
Nice.
So they absolutely built up some equity. So the two major ways that you build up equity, okay, this is where you do build wealth over time, was number one. And the ways you build equity are twofold. Number one is the value of the home goes up over time.
Okay.
You can't control that, but it's probably going to happen over time. It's going to vary from one neighborhood to another, but over time, the value of real estate should go up. The second way you're going to build equity is that every month, part of your payment, unless you have an interest-only loan, which aren't very common anymore, but part of your payment every month is paying down against the principal. And the more it pays down against the principal, the more equity you build up.
Okay, that makes sense.
Pretty self-explanatory,
yeah.
You'd think. But it really is amazing, that cumulative effect, how much it adds up over time.
Right. That's right. So, in saying all this, are there tax benefits to owning a home? I know you're not a tax expert per se, but you've got to come across this in some of your transactions. So, are there benefits to that?
Absolutely. And in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're talking about the seven benefits of home ownership.
Okay. We're on number three.
Right, and we're on number three. And I'll just say, too, if you have, you know, if you have a boomerang kid where you have a kid that, you know, you sent off to college, now they owe so much in student loans, now they've moved back home with you, and you want to get them out there as that first-time home buyer, you may want to have them listen to this or go to our blog and they can listen to the audio even at a later time so they understand the seven benefits of home ownership. So, Tammy, you asked a question about tax deductions, and
yeah,
I'm not a licensed CPA, so I can't give tax advice.
Right.
But I do know these guidelines pretty well. I do actually study the IRS guidelines on it. So let's talk. Number three here is reaping the mortgage tax deduction benefits. Okay. Here is how that works. First off, with the tax deduction benefit, what you can deduct is your acquisition indebtedness. Okay, and what that means is acquisition indebtedness. So the debt you took out when you bought the property, that money's tax deductible up to a loan amount of $1 million.
Okay.
Okay, so as long as your loan amount is below $1 million, then you can deduct that mortgage interest. Okay, and they basically will take whatever amount of mortgage interest you paid. So let's say you paid $5,000 in interest for the year. You would take your taxable income, subtract that amount off, and that's the amount that you get as a deduction. And here's some basic math on it that I like to use. So let's say whatever tax bracket you're in, so if you're in the 25% tax bracket, okay, if you're in the 32% tax bracket, let's say you're in the 25% tax bracket, the lowest one, okay, in that tax bracket, it is the equivalent of having a 25% deduction on the interest that you're paying. So if you're paying 4% in interest, it's the equivalent of really paying 3% in interest after that tax deduction. Okay, so that's pretty important. And here's another thing that's important about this mortgage interest deduction. When I say acquisition indebtedness, here's a mistake that some people make. Okay, let's say you want to buy a property, it's $200,000, but to move on this thing, you need to do it fast. So you go borrow money from your parents, and you pay cash for that $200,000 property, and you know you're just going to refinance it and replenish the money that you borrowed from your parents. Well, now that loan that you take out is not acquisition indebtedness anymore. Most CPAs will never ask you the right questions to recognize that, and if you happen to get audited, you might lose your deduction on that. Does that strike you odd, Tammy?
I'm kind of like my mouth is hanging open. For those that can't see, that is surprising to me. I mean, I really didn't even think about that. It just didn't even cross my mind about that. Because, first of all, I've never borrowed money from my parents to buy a house. But if I were to do that, I wouldn't even have thought about that. That's pretty good, interesting. So let's talk about closing costs.
Well, actually, before we go into that, because number four on the list is, still number three on the list.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because this is part of the mortgage tax deduction benefits, like what we can reap from this. And part of those deductions is, can you deduct closing costs on that? And what about property tax?
Okay, so let's stick to closing costs first.
Mm-hmm.
Answer that question is, the only closing costs that are tax deductible are points. Okay, and whatever, and only the amount of points that would be customary for the area that you live in.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a pretty broad term and can be used pretty loosely. Somebody's not going to charge you 5 points, and you're not going to be able to deduct that whole amount. Okay, but it's pretty common to pay 1 point on a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say points, a point is 1% of the loan amount, and it's charged as an origination fee. That fee has to be charged in a specific blank on your settlement statement.
Okay.
And that's where you have to make sure that you not only provide that settlement statement to your CPA so they can deduct it. Okay, a lot of people will miss that deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another thing that's interesting about that is that if it's on a purchase loan, however many points, so if you pay 1 point as an example, that's deductible fully in the first year you bought that home. So if you have a $200,000 loan, that's $2,000 would be 1 point. That $2,000 would be fully deductible the first year you bought the house. Did you know that it's different on a refinance?
I did not.
Okay, so on a refinance, here's what's interesting is whatever points you pay are still deductible, but they have to be amortized over the life of that loan. So if you have a 30-year loan, and you pay 1%, and it's let's say it's $200,000 loan and $2,000 again, you'd have to take 1/30th of that per year.
Oh, wow.
Here's another little known thing that gets missed in this. When you go to sell the house, okay, any amount, that unamortized deduction that you haven't taken yet, you can then take that year. But I guarantee that gets missed in many, many cases with people.
Wow.
That's a lost tax deduction that people just blow through.
Uh-huh. Wow. Had no idea. Yeah. All right. So what about property tax?
Okay. Property taxes on your primary residence and vacation homes are also fully deductible per the IRS guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one that one should be pretty easy to deduct.
Okay.
I think it may be calculated a little bit differently when it comes to the AMT calculations and things like that. But that's an area that you want to make sure you don't miss, the property tax deduction.
Right. Bring all of these subjects up to your CPA when you're doing this stuff.
Absolutely. So, Tammy, when we're talking about the 7 benefits of home ownership, if you want to know more about these benefits, the list of them is on our website at DougHaldeman.com, DougHaldeman.com, and download the 7 benefits of home ownership. We'll list all these on there for you. And if you have questions, reach out to me personally at 314-472-DOUG. Again, 314-472-DOUG, D-O-U-G, which is 3684. Shoot me a text. We'll set up a time early this week, and we can get on the phone and go over them. So we've covered 1 through 3
mm-hmm.
out of these benefits. And right. If you want to know numbers 4, 5, 6, and 7 on the benefits of home ownership, stay tuned. You're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.